From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later tonight, near-death experiences. Here's what's happening. The United States is projected to see a sharp decline in weekly coronavirus cases by July across several modeling scenarios, according to a report from the CDC. That's good news. However, the agency said if unvaccinated populations flout physical distancing and masking, it could bring substantial increases in hospitalizations and deaths. That's what they say. The Brazilian president, Jair Bolsonaro, has caused another international stir by claiming that COVID-19 was created as part of a biological warfare, according to reports. He's probably right. He has taken controversial stances throughout the pandemic, at times warring with his own governors over restrictions or speaking out, being critical of China. But he believes that China made this in a laboratory. Well, researchers at Dartmouth College have a secret to share with you. Despite its negative reputation, a new study finds that gossip can actually be a good thing for people to spread. Study authors say gossip isn't just about passing on rumors and saying bad things about others. In fact, their report reveals it also serves to create social connections and even helps people learn new things about the world that they haven't experienced for themselves. Who better to react to this study than our own resident psychiatrist, Dr. Peter Breggin? Peter, what do you think of this one?
Actually, George, it's the first time in a long time I've heard about a piece of research on human beings that was interesting, fun to read about, and actually taught me some things. And the reason for that, and this could might be very helpful for the understanding of people in your audience who maybe want to know why I'm so critical of social science, psychological science, psychiatric science in general. In this study, they actually looked at people operating in the world, in their normal places, on a rowing team, in the workplace, and in other places where people are naturally gathering and doing things together. It's naturalistic, and then they try to make sense out of it and to even invoke why in evolution would this help. And one of the things they point out is that if you're working in a cooperative environment, people are likely to say good things about each other because it's natural, it helps cooperation. You're in a competitive environment, you're going to say negative things about people to get ahead. It even talks about morality. It says that the author is talking about it, that generous and moral people can respond to the gossip by warning somebody, you know, that there's somebody bad that might hurt them. It's called gossip, but it's conversation. And it even recognizes malicious gossip. So I think this is good stuff. I enjoyed it. And folks, it's the best kind of research. It's looking at real people, not a college students who are recovering, you know, from binge drinking and taking drugs and filling out tests for you.
I love it. Thank you, Peter. We'll talk to you next week. Dr. Peter Breggin. He's got a book coming out in June or July. We'll be talking about that as we get close to that date. As we've been reporting, chicken is at a massive shortage. It's sending prices soaring. Restaurants can't keep up. Chicken wings are short. It's a strange thing. Independent eateries and bars have gone weeks without wings, according to owners. Chicken shortage, folks. What's going on in the skies these days? Let's check in with Kevin Randall with his weekly UFO report. Hi, Kevin. How you doing?
Apparently not good. I can't get any chicken around here.
No, you can't get it in due time.
I'm hoping for that. Here's something that annoys me a great deal. I was reading a list of conspiracies that people still believe, and I think you know where this is going.
Uh-huh.
Their list contained things that you'd expect. The moon landings were faked and the Earth is flat. That kind of nonsense. And then we came to Roswell. I'd hoped they would leave it off the list, but they didn't. They would have... they had a good excuse for including it. They trotted out the mogul balloon explanation.
Again.
Yeah, absolutely. And yes, I know it was claimed that Mogul was highly classified And the fact that it was an array of balloons and radar target might have made it look unusual. But the truth is, the culprit in this tale, Flight Number 4, never flew. It had been canceled due to clouds. The CAA, which is the forerunner, of course, to the FAA, required cancellation for cloudy weather. These arrays were hundreds of feet long and could pose a hazard to aerial navigation if the pilots couldn't see them. Dr. Albert Crary's field notes confirmed the cancellation. Crary, of course, was in charge of the balloon experiments in New Mexico at the time. Whatever fell at Roswell, it certainly wasn't a Project Mogul balloon. Moving into the modern world, from William Puckett, I found a photo taken on February 8th. The witness had taken a photograph of two eagles at the Oaks Bottom Wildlife Refuge in Portland, Oregon. He didn't see the object, which appears in two of the photographs, until he was reviewing them sometime later. The object is a silver-colored fuzzy oval with some sort of contrail. The preliminary analysis seems to rule out aircraft. I've got a link at my blog to this, and you take a look at that at www.kevinrandall.blogspot.com, and you can see the photograph. In keeping with the trend of UFOs with contrails, there was a sighting from Florida on April 23rd. The witness, who had gotten up for the morning coffee, saw a bright object that was too small to be the sun and too large to be a star. I mention this sighting not because it turned out to be a UFO, but it was identified as the launch of the SpaceX Falcon rocket.
That's right. We got a lot of calls about that, too.
Yeah, it was launched about that time. I thought it important to point this out because we receive many UFO reports, and most of the time they turn out to be some mundane craft, as we've seen here. And moving back to Florida, the witness said that she saw an object about dawn. She thought it looked a bit like a shooting star. She attempted to catch her husband's attention, and when she looked back, the UFO was lower, larger, and changed direction, which, of course, rules out a meteor. She described the object as a long, centrically shaped object with round lights on the underbelly. She reported that there was no noise. She went back inside to get her husband, and when they came back out, the UFO was gone. Yeah, so that's a little bit of everything tonight, George, and kind of wraps it up.
All right, my friend. We'll talk to you next week, Dr. Kevin Randall. Well, you know, we talk a lot about how fallen angels may have been perceived to be extraterrestrials and vice versa. Well, in a moment, we're going to be talking with Scott Mitchell about his thoughts about fallen angels. Were they really ETs? That's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. What you're about to hear tonight for the next couple hours could really disturb you. Scott Mitchell with us, host of the Bible Mysteries podcast and pastor in a church in Sungeen, Texas. A career background in music, legal support, and technology, Scott has been a scholar studying biblical history and biblical mysteries for 40 years plus. He founded utbnow.com to provide resources to help folks unlock the mysteries of the Bible as well. Scott, welcome back to the program.
George, thank you so much for having me. It is a pleasure to be back.
And how are you? Things have been well, I hope.
They have. Things have been well with me. Things are kind of going crazy in the world, but keeping an eye on it.
they sure are. Lots to talk with you about tonight. But let's jump into this situation of what you have said is kind of opposite what some other people have thought. And a lot of people believe that fallen angels really were, that extraterrestrials might have been fallen angels. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I'm kind of taking the opposite approach because I believe it is, in fact, that what people are claiming, they use the term, I guess, ancient alien theorists or whatever, and there's a lot of credible people out there, don't get me wrong.
Right.
I just take a different perspective than they do, which is it's not that people in the past mistook aliens for angels. They were angels that are masquerading as aliens, or at least it appears they will when they when they finally manifest themselves for who they are.
Why do they want to do that?
Well, to me, the great mystery is, or the great deception, you could say, in the world is that we've turned away from believing in the spiritual, the supernatural. We've become so focused on earthly things. And I believe Satan and his minions, which are the rebel angels that rebelled against God many, many eons ago, their aim was to bring us to this point where man didn't have any faith in God, in the supernatural, so that we trust in things like technology. We trust in humanity to solve our problems. And when we see humanity failing like it is right now, ultimately, I think they're going to swoop in and kind of be the so-called saviors of the world by claiming they are our ancient ancestors, ready to come back with their technology because we're ready for our next phase of evolution.
These biblical stories, Scott, regardless of how one interprets them, how did they originate in the first place? Because I assume most of these stories occurred before there were any human beings even on the planet to witness these things.
Right. As far as if we go back to the very first time you and I spoke, we discussed the world that was, where the Bible indicates there was an entire civilization of angels on the planet before God even made man. And while there are young age creationists that disagree with that, the evidence is too plain to me that there had to be something there. And it was during this time when a particular angel who was a cherub was named Lucifer, and he decided he wanted more than he had in his position of authority. He wanted to be God himself, so he was able to convince a third of the angels to join him in a rebellion, and the ensuing chaos they created in corrupting the planet at that time resulted in God's judgment on the earth, and that's where we find the water in the very second verse of the Bible. And from that chaos, God restored the earth and kind of did a funny thing, in my opinion, because Lucifer was created with all this perfection and beauty and jewels and gold and all this kind of thing. But God turned around and made man out of the dirt and gave him dominion over the kingdom that the Lucifer once had, the throne on the earth.
What was it, Scott, that you saw that brought you to this conclusion that angels were posing as ETs?
Well, what I'm suggesting is that that's maybe the way they're going to do it, because as many of your guests have discussed, you know, the revelation of UFOs and UFO information is getting to the point where we cannot dispute it. There's clearly an advanced technology out there. It's showing up in unclassified documents and radar footage and things like that. So that tells me that it's getting close to the time when it's going to be revealed. And the main verse of prophecy that caught my attention was the fact that in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, there is going to be a war in heaven between God's archangel, whose name happens to be Michael, and Satan and his angels. And in that war, they're going to be defeated by God's angels and cast down to the earth and confined. When they show up and men are going to see them in reality, instead of, you know, in other words, their spiritual eyes are going to be open because these entities are going to be on the planet, those angels are not going to confess and say that they lost the battle with God. They're going to lie and use some form of deception to convince the world to accepting them. To me, the perfect disguise is we're your ancient alien ancestors, and we're ready to alter your genes to become like us.
And we'll save you, right?
And they'll bring in salvation, and I believe everything that's occurring in the world today is moving in that direction. Artificial intelligence, genetic experiments, everything seems to be pushing towards that realm. And incidentally, most people that have ever claimed they've had an abduction experience usually indicate that some form of genetic testing or testing on sexual organs was done while they were abducted.
That's
so
true.
To me, that's a perfect indication of the type of genetic manipulation they've been doing since the beginning, when the angels came down to take daughters of men in Genesis 6 and giant hybrids were born to them.
We're with Scott Mitchell. He's got several videos, including The Red Pill, The Dark Secret, The Case for God. His website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Your thoughts on end times prophecy, Scott?
Yeah, to me, a lot is going to come clear through the book of Daniel. You know, the last chapter of Daniel talks about that he wrote some things down, but Daniel was kind of asking this angel that gave him the message from God. He wanted to know more, and he was told to seal up the book and shut up the words till the time of the end. And it seems to me like right now, with knowledge coming available to us people all over the world, people that I don't even know and have never met, are coming to the same conclusions from a scriptural point of view about prophecy. We're seeing these things unfold, and it's almost like, because it now seems to be close to the time of the end, we're being given the insight into these prophecies and what they truly mean, which is an indication that we're approaching that time.
Now, you mentioned artificial intelligence. Good thing or bad thing?
I think it's going to be used for bad.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, knowledge itself is not a bad thing, but when it's used like I think it's going to be, you know, we have to... I'm a firm believer that a lot of fiction in books and media is almost giving us slight glimpses into the reality of what's coming. When you think about something like, say, Star Trek, and they had communicators, well, that was like the precursor to the cell phone, you know? And you could talk about, you know, H.G. Wells or Jules Verne and the submarine, and you can see that a lot of things sort of come to pass, even though at the time they were first, you know, revealed, they were fiction. So is it possible that a lot of movies and things are slightly giving us an indication of what might be coming? And one movie that comes to mind is Terminator, and I think we recall, wasn't it something like Skynet that took over the world? It was mm-hmm. artificial intelligence and machines that began to exterminate humanity. And while I don't think that's actually what's going to happen, we've got the potential for that now, and it could be that the chaos that might be created from that and many other things are going to be the reason why mankind is going to accept these angels as our saviors.
You remember the movie Rosemary's Baby with Mia Farrow?
Yeah.
There were humans who helped Satan, Lucifer, do what he needed to do. They were on the planet, but they were human beings. Do we have people on this planet today, Scott, who are human beings, 100% human, who are working for Satan, and they know it?
I absolutely believe we are. I call them the satanic global elite. There's a scripture in also in the book of Revelation that talks about 10 kings in the end that will give their power to the entity known as the Antichrist. And those 10 kings are probably going to be technology billionaires or something along that line because of the immense wealth that they have and the agendas they're pushing, where they're literally controlling nations and altering national policy through what the mechanisms they believe in. And some of them very likely actually do worship Satan or Lucifer as their god, although that's well hidden, and that's been going on for centuries.
What happened to these people? They weren't born this way, were they?
No, they would have turned to the dark side, as we would say, like in Star Wars. You know, Christ had encountered some leaders of Israel in his earthly ministry who rejected him and his agenda, and he clearly called them out in the Gospel of John and said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do." They were not the genetic physical offspring of the devil. They were children of him by choice. And so human beings make choices. And whether people want to believe it or not, there is a battle between good and evil that's been raging since before man was created, and people make choices on which team they join.
Tell us about the Antichrist. Is the Antichrist on this planet now?
We don't know that for sure, and it's possible that he is, but whoever he is, when he appears, he's going to be a normal man, just like any other man. He's going to basically take over the world. And when you think about having control of every system such that you can't buy or sell without taking the mark of the Antichrist, that amount of control would require a massive amount of technology, which is where the AI thing might come into the picture.
Does the person who's the Antichrist know that they are or will be?
That's a great question. I believe they probably don't think of themselves as the Antichrist. I think they're going to think of themselves as a great human being that might be the savior of humanity. But ultimately, the way the scripture indicates it, they're going to be killed by just a common man with like a sword or something, a deadly wound, and they're going to be healed. And it looks like they're going to rise from the dead the third day and at that point declare themselves to be God, imitating what happened with Jesus Christ on the cross. And therefore, it's probably going to coincide with the timing of when this war in heaven takes place and Lucifer and his angels are kicked out. once they're confined to the Earth, it could be that they'll use their so-called alien advanced technology to bring this man back from the dead, since the Bible says that the dragon gives the Antichrist his power and authority, and the dragon, of course, is Satan.
And the people, of course, will have the wool pulled over their eyes. They'll have no idea what's going on, will they?
It seems to be that way, and the way that it, you know, I've often thought about this. Evidently, there's something that takes place in the Bible where all the world turns to worship this Antichrist. And you think about the diversity of religion for thousands of years, if we talk about the Buddhist, the Hindu, the Jew, the Taoist, the Christian, the Muslim, all these diverse types of religions, what would cause devout, faithful people in all these situations to turn and leave entirely behind their religious teaching?
Let's talk more about that, Scott, when we come back right after this break on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Scott Mitchell with us. We'll take calls with Scott next hour. His website, of course, is utbnow.com, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Scott, why will so many people follow this so-called Antichrist?
It appears it's going to be the deception. You know, getting back to what we were just discussing before the break, something spectacular is going to happen to cause people to abandon their centuries-long faith. And to me, it would be the appearance of so-called alien spacecrafts, and with the promise of a bright future and new technology. And to me, this deception is going to include, if you're ready for perhaps the next phase of human evolution, take this mark, which apparently is going to alter humans genetically. And that has been an MO of Satan and his angels from the beginning.
Interesting take. Now, will governments, in this possible disclosure that seems to be inching along, could that be part of this plan?
I think it will, because essentially if this Antichrist takes over all control, he'll be controlling governments. And that seems to be the direction we're going in, from autonomy to a corporatocracy, where governments are now beholden to the people that have the money. And we're talking behind the scenes. There are wealthy individuals beyond our imagination.
Now, what's going on with the World Economic Forum? And there's some kind of agenda about 9 years from now.
That's right. So they have a video talking about the Great Reset. And its Agenda 2030 is a part of their plan. And what's interesting about that year is the fact that it can coincide with some things from a biblical perspective. Now, it's speculation, but it still could match some things. And their aim is to take advantage of the chaos through the pandemic and this and that, whatever is going on, racial strife, climate change, and use that to bring order out of the chaos, which is what has been their agenda all along. You know, you need us, we can solve your problems, and therefore humanity will relinquish their liberty to these people.
Does Satan pop up on the scene, or is he hidden? Well, how does he come forward?
Well, he's hidden right now, and he's certainly, you know, the spiritual realm is hidden to humanity, but it's there. Humanity is, you know, government and education and academia, they're all designed to distract us, to say that there's nothing there in the spiritual realm. But ultimately, Satan will operate behind this individual who's called the Antichrist. So it could be that he remains hidden or disguised as we talked about, one of these aliens in some form, to ultimately bring about the agenda, which what he wants is to regain control of the planet as he once had.
Why was there or is there so much evil with fallen angels, with Satan? I mean, what's wrong with these entities?
Yeah, exactly. That's where the beginning of evil comes from. And you know what's interesting? Because there's a scripture that says the love of money is the root of all evil. People misquote it all the time and say money is the root of all evil, but money's just a tool. But the love of money is the root of all evil. Well, if the first evil was Lucifer's rebellion, what prompted that? Well, the love of money. He wanted what money could gain him, power, glory, honor. And God evidently had all that, and he wanted it. So the money must have been the power and the glory that he could have with the wealth, with the riches that exist in the world. I mean, there's going to be crowns and nations and kings in the future coming new heaven and new earth. So there's wealth to be obtained, and that apparently is what he was after. It's what he even offered Jesus in a temptation, to give him all the power of the world.
And who wins in the long run? According to the Bible, we do. Do you believe that to be the case?
I do, absolutely. In the long run, Satan will be defeated. And what happens is, and this is this to me is another one of those things that God writes in the Bible that I find funny, which indicates he has a sense of humor. But, you know, people talk about the devil as though he's red, scaly, with a bifurcated tail and a hay fork, and the last person you want to meet in a dark alley.
Yeah, right.
But according to the Bible, when Christ comes back to restore everything and deliver mankind and deliver his nation Israel again, there is an angel that takes the devil himself, Satan, binds him in a chain, and throws him in a bottomless pit. Now, that's the guy I don't want to meet in a dark alley, you know, the one that can actually take Lucifer himself and chain him up.
How did he have the power to get him?
He must be given that power from God himself, because when he appears, there seems to be no struggle. He's able to grab this Lucifer and chain him up. And he's actually loosed it after 1,000 years. He's loosed again just to show that given the chance, he would deceive mankind again. But he doesn't get very far. At that point, he's going to be cast into what is called in the Bible the lake of fire.
Scott,
the end of Lucifer.
There must be some test here, because God, with all his omnipotent power, couldn't he just simply say, Satan, you're out of here, and it's done?
He could have. He could have just destroyed him in the beginning and not have him exist anymore. But he chose not to, and there was a reason for that. And I think it was so that his glory could be manifested and his grace and mercy could be demonstrated to the human beings that are so failed and flawed. And you know, he gave us dominion. We failed. And then Satan gained it back in a form, or at least he thought he did. And so God has been working through a plan of redemption for humans only, not for angels.
I think God wants us to be tempted. What do you think?
Yeah, I think he wants us to be proved. So if we're going to use the word tempted in the sense of a test or a trial, then yes, I would agree with that.
Now tell me what your thoughts about this globalist elite cabal. I mean, well, I envision some billionaire doing all these chants and incantations in his house. Who knows what's going on there? What are they doing right now?
They appear to believe that they are God's chosen, illuminated ones to guide humanity out of the dark and into the light. And they believe that because they have this immense power and wealth, they are divinely appointed to be the ones to lead mankind. I believe they are aiming to do so through major depopulation and a reduction of the planet's population. I think their arrogance is beyond measure, and I'm not going to name any names, but there's certainly public individuals that we know of now who are demonstrating that kind of arrogance. And the interesting thing is that I would encourage anybody, even if you've never picked up a Bible, read Isaiah chapter 24 and see what's coming to this planet. When we talk about climate change, and they're beating the drums and using climate change as a means to control people, but in reality, God's about to change the climate in a way you can't even imagine when it says the earth is going to reel to and fro like a drunkard, and it's going to turn upside down. All because he's going to punish the high ones that are on high and the kings of the earth. So these arrogant, satanic global elite have no idea what's coming.
Is one of these elitists going through a divorce?
I believe they are, yes.
Uh-huh.
And may not be the only one.
Do they know what they're doing, or are they being misled? I sometimes think some of them are being tricked.
I think they might be being tricked, and I think even if they're very public and extremely wealthy, they might actually be pawns or puppets. They may not know exactly who's really pulling the strings, because if you have $40 or $50 billion, there are families behind the scenes in the shadows that could buy and sell that person 10 times over.
Absolutely.
And then we're getting into, you know, Rockefeller types and whatever, you know.
Do the elitists constantly want chaos on the planet?
They want it to bring about their agenda, which is order out of chaos. And incidentally, you know, if you look at the back of a dollar bill, and I know people call this conspiracy theory, but Latin is Latin, and the seal says, Novus Ordo Seclorum, and it's talking about Annuit Kaiptis, announcing the birth of the New World Order. There's a symbol of the Illuminati right there with the all-seeing eye of Osiris in the top of the pyramid. Every bit of that is a Masonic type of thing. When we talk about shadow government or satanic global elite, that's how much power they have. They control the currency.
Can we stop it, or do you have to let it unfold?
I think we have to let it unfold. We have to be aware of it. We have to proclaim the truth and try to expose it as best we can, because ultimately we are the targets. You know, when we talk about this possibility of angels masquerading as aliens, which I think is probably the likely scenario, another event the Bible talks about is for the people that are the righteous or the redeemed, there's going to be a large number that are going to go out of this world instantly in an event that Christians call the rapture. Well, a lot of us think about suddenly, you know, a bunch of cars being unmanned and careening around and, you know, whatever. But what if it wasn't like that at all? What if there was something going on that was so cataclysmic that we're not even missed when we disappear? And then if the question is asked, where did they go, the aliens can say, well, we had to remove them because they were a hindrance to our agenda.
Tell me about the 10 kings that give their power to the beast.
The 10 kings are going to be individuals that basically gain control, and once they have it, they're going to turn around and give that control to the beast himself. So it's not like one man steps into the stage and controls all the nations. There's going to be a gradual move into that where 10, probably oligarchs, are going to come into the majority of the control of wealth and technology, and that's what they're going to give the beast control of.
Scott Mitchell with us. We'll take calls with Scott next hour here on Coast to Coast. Gina is filling in for Tom, so you can start making calls, and she'll get you on hold and get ready for next hour if you want. Some people always say, I can never get through. Well, start early. You just might. You just might. When you're still a pastor in the Sungain Church, right?
That's correct.
What do you talk to them about on a regular basis? The subjects we're talking about tonight?
Yeah, actually not as often as you'd think. we talk about that more on the podcast because the title is called Bible Mysteries. So we do want to talk about the unusual hidden things in the Scripture. But as a pastor in my local church, we might cover that from time to time, but we focus on your typical kinds of teaching, but mostly to prepare people to know what awaits us in heaven. That's another mystery we're going to begin a series of starting Monday, the mystery of heaven. Most people have a cartoonish concept of heaven and not the actual understanding of what it is. So we're going to be revealing that, and that's more in lines of what we talk about.
And they accept that, the parishioners?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And what they do is they search it themselves, because as a Bible church, my aim is not for them to take my word for it. My aim is to direct them to the Scripture so they can search it out themselves.
Scott, have you ever had anybody in church stand up and go, I don't want to listen to this, and they run out?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, and it wasn't because of anything like we're talking about tonight. It was something that they had formed an opinion about the understanding of a specific piece of Scripture, and they decided that what I was trying to reveal about it wasn't true. So they did walk out. They totally misunderstood the statement I was making about it, though, but didn't choose to come back and discuss it. So that's okay.
Scott, tell us about the entities that we call fallen angels. Exactly what are they?
So angels were in the beginning created by God when he made heaven and earth. And according to the book of Job, they sang for joy and shouted because God was making them a home. We don't know how long they existed on the earth in that perfect, sinless realm, which could be the source of mythology, things like Atlantis and that type of thing. But ultimately, at some point, the one who seems to be in charge of that entire civilization, the king of the earth, so to speak, was this cherub named Lucifer. So when he decided that he actually wanted to be God and be worshipped as God rather than give worship to God, that's what sort of started the ball rolling. And according to the book of Ezekiel, he spread lies, he trafficked in merchandise. It uses that word, merchandise, so when you talk about the love of money, right? And somehow must have convinced a third of the angels to join him in a rebellion. And you have to think, if they witnessed the Creator create heaven and earth, what could he have said to convince them to join him? And my belief is he offered them godhood, You join me, you'll be Zeus, you'll be Apollo, you'll be Aphrodite. I'll make you gods.
I was going to just say, why would they, after witnessing God's omnipotent powers, simply want to sign up with the devil?
It has to be because they wanted that power, the love of money. They must have believed that if there were enough to join them, they could actually defeat God. And Satan must believe he can. He's that arrogant. He must still believe that in the end he could win, or he would have given up by now.
And they've still been around since the beginning of time, haven't they?
They have, and they're still around today. Now, there's certain of the angels we know of that actually left the realm of the spiritual dimension and took on the form of mortality, I guess you'd say, for the purposes of procreation in Genesis 6. They ended up dying, and they're in chains in the bottomless pit right now. But that was only a fraction of the one-third of the angels that joined Lucifer in his rebellion.
I was going to say, how do you eradicate an angel?
Well, it had to be because they left their first estate, according to the book of Jude, and that would make sense that in order for a human being to procreate with an angel, something had to change. They had to come down to be like a human for there to be interaction there. And once that happened, the children, according to Genesis 6, that were born were Nephilim, or the giants, and they were literally gigantic human beings that had angel DNA. And the whole purpose of that was Lucifer's attempt to stop the bloodline of man from producing a particular prophesied individual that was called the seed of the woman in Genesis chapter 3.
And he's still trying to do all he can. Scott, stay with us. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and take phone calls with you right here on Coast to Coast AM.